You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. Make my wish come true.
Say that too, couldn't we, Keith? All we want for Christmas is our audience, and what an audience, and what a fantastic year it has been with you again, ladies and gentlemen, and of course our featured guest. We just put up a post a few days ago, Delightful December, that recapped all the guests we featured on the show from the first show of the year, which just so happened to be on January the 6th, the first Saturday of the year, all the way through last week, and it's been another fantastic year, a fantastic 15th year here on TPC, and of course anchored by that wonderful conference that we had a few weeks ago, and it's been a great year, and we look forward to a great December. We are not done yet, are we?
No, not by a long shot.
Well, listen, getting back into the mailbag here, if we can. Let's go to a listener in the UK. The subject of the email was Retro Rocks. Now, this goes back a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the William Lind article about retro culture, which we've, of course, referenced this evening. And our listener in the UK writes, Hi, James. When Keith said that we are all instinctively doing what William Lind suggests in retro culture, he may not have realized how right he was. All whites in America are hungry for retro America, and counterintuitively, the hipsters are the hungriest of all. An unsatisfied desire for heritage and tribal belonging is what's behind their tattoo and body-piercing fad. The same is true of the metrosexual male's fetishism about beard care and microbreweries. Many millennials choose to live in a rockabilly world with their bodies covered in tattoos of Dice, Marilyn Monroe, and James Dean, and others choose to live in the 16th century or the 1940s. These are implicitly white fantasies, our listener in the UK writes. In fact, some are making their own period clothing and not only wearing it, but selling it with great success worldwide. There's a guy in my neighborhood who lives as a buccaneer and another who lives as a medieval serf.
I can identify with medieval serf.
But he writes, the past is the future.
It is. If we want to know how we want to remake America, we're going to have to consult the past.
Well, you were talking about these oldie stations that we listen to here in Memphis. He writes that his girlfriend's son has a band, and he encourages them to play covers of old hits. Now, this is a contemporary band playing the old songs, and that's when the crowd goes the wildest. There's a reason why these oldie stations are always the most popular, and he writes, the reason is because the past is the future, and it has to be our future, or else we have no future.
Well, I would recommend our listener in England to get on his computer and look up Sunny 103.1. Put that in the Google box, and I think you can get that, and you can listen to this. It's really a great show because he takes phone calls from listeners who tend to be old-timers here in Memphis that remember about encounters with Elvis and stuff like this. Really a great oral history going on there, too. So I think you're absolutely right. Retro culture. See, retro culture's opposite is the OK Boomer movement. for the OK Boomer movement, the boomers are the reason we're in the shape we're in now, their failings, their shortcomings. There's nothing to be gained from listening to them. On the other hand, with retro culture, the retro culture that most people are going to is the 50s and the 60s in a place like Memphis was really the 60s in Berkeley, California, for example, didn't come to Memphis, Tennessee until the 70s. But the 50s and 60s is the retro culture that most people can identify with. And, of course, that's the childhood of the boomers. So the boomers are at the bottom of the totem pole for the OK Boomer movement, but at the top, like the wise elders that need to be consulted in the retro culture movement.
Well, you know, look, I always say I'm an old heart. I'm 39 years old. All my friends are your age, Keith. Not, you know, no offense.
Except your bowling league.
But, I mean, who are my best friends? Sam Dixon? I mean, you, Virginia Abernethy, David
Duke? The fact that you're in a bowling league, that if there's something that is more 50s Americana than being in a bowling league, do you have those shirts that have, you know, that are embroidered and whatnot? And,
let me tell you something. You don't want to come up against me on a bowling lane. I can tell you that.
I know that.
But but listen, I love. I'm an old heart, and
not an old something else that rhymes with heart.
Right? not yet. I'm getting there. But we got another listener from Jimmy in Washington State. Now this is a great. It's a 3-page. Typewritten letter.
Wow.
That he sent in. Yeah, but they do that.
Who says people like us are illiterate? Right?
Dear James, Keith, Winston, and Cesspool Gang, I am still reflect. This goes back to our conference again, but although I just received it in late November, I'm still reflecting on my marvelous Memphis weekend, and I didn't even have to go downtown. I really enjoyed the 15th anniversary celebration. Everything was perfect, including the speakers, the food, and the accommodations. As James and Keith have stated repeatedly over the past few weeks, the women were beautiful and the children were adorable. Hear, hear, to lots of more babies. I particularly enjoyed spending one-on-one time with James, Keith, and Sam Dixon. And then he goes on to talk about recent programming here on TPC. I enjoyed listening to Paul Fromm talking about Don Cherry. It's a great 3-page letter. This guy, Jimmy, he was with us there, of course, there in northern Mississippi a few weeks ago. And still, you know, it's great to know that there are still people out there basking in the glow here now. What is it? A month and a half later?
Yeah, it was really a great idea to have that where we did. This was an old plantation that Grant's army was trying to locate, and they couldn't find it back in the Civil War. So if Grant couldn't find it, we didn't think the SPLC could either.
That's right. Well, hey, you know, you go to a supporter's home in rural Mississippi, and you know the eye of Sauron can't even penetrate that.
That's right.
So that's where we were. And some people stayed in hotels in the surrounding area, including up in two, across the border, the state line and into Memphis. And
did anybody camp out?
I thought you did. No. Anyway, hey, listen, we got to take a quick timeout. Another Christmas song when we return, and then Jack Ryan, but don't go anywhere. Still much more TPC to come this evening, and some important things to still impart before we bid you good evening until next week. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Another one. There's a Beach Boys entry into our Christmas assortment this evening.
We're going to cover every rock and roll group that ever ever recorded a Christmas theme song.
That's for sure. Well, anyway, Keith, this actually brings up a provocative question that we received only just during the last commercial break. Now, I will say this, and I don't want you to add anything to it, Keith, because we don't want to betray anyone's confidence or reveal anything, but one of the greatest highlights of my year has been reconnecting with an old friend who is a listener in East Tennessee. And she is in touch with us this evening and is tuned in this evening. And she writes that, I don't get it. I'm sorry, don't hate me, but looking to the 50s is crazy. The 850s would have been better. To which I responded, I can't see that far back. I'll take 1950 over 2020. But yeah, going back, we could do even better than 1950, I'm sure. And she brought up a point that I want to bring up in this segment. She writes, I look at the grandparents because they were where the tradition was not passed on. Tradition until then, talking about the 50s presumably, then none. They didn't transmit it. They got it, but they didn't transmit it. They stopped doing what their parents did. They were the ones that came from poverty into prosperity and just dumped everything and bought TV trays. Your thoughts?
Well, look, I lived in the 50s, and I can tell you that it's, again, Jewish power and influence is the culprit. That's where all of the corrosive elements in our culture had their genesis. And do I blame the boomers or even the greatest so-called generation, the one that preceded them, for succumbing to Jewish power and influence? No. actually, there hasn't been a generation that has dealt with it successfully since the Middle Ages.
Well, she writes about this, too. But any generation would have done the same. She writes. This is her conclusion. So blame should be where it belongs, with the ones who bought the papers and tuned into the networks and did what they told them to do. We're all spoiled and complacent. I guess I resent the retro stuff. They had something good and didn't care if we inherited it.
Well, look, I lived in that time. I remember growing up in a working-class neighborhood in Memphis where there was only one divorce on the entire block throughout my childhood. And that was such a traumatic event for the children that even though the family patched it back up, they had to move to Forest City, Arkansas to get away from the shame of it all. Now, see, actually living in it, you see what was happening. But what was corrosive was all of these new liberal ideas that were getting unwarranted attention and airplay because Jewish power and influence was in charge of the media. For example, the civil rights movement. They didn't show you people throwing cups of urine and dog feces and stuff like this, spitting on the police, because the people running the cameras were in league with the demonstrators. Only when they provoked a response from the police did the cameras start to roll, and since they controlled the narrative, then the rest of the world got to thinking that the Southern police were these brutes. In fact, I think it's probably the first time in American history where the police were portrayed as bad guys and the lawbreakers were portrayed as the good guys. But see, that's what you're having to deal with. And that's what a lot of people didn't understand. For example, at Charlottesville, well, I predicted it, you know, that it was not going to turn out well. And the reason it wasn't going to turn out well is because the same people that were supporting the civil rights movement were controlling the cameras and the coverage at Charlottesville. So consequently, they wove this into their typical narrative of who the bad guys and the good guys were. You've got to understand that broadcast media was something that people, it was new and people didn't know how to cope with it, but the people that controlled it used it to transform America. And when people didn't agree with them, they found by consulting the larger culture that they were outsiders and a hated minority. See, this is, we need to get back to the old days in a lot of ways. For example, when you read something, if it doesn't strike you right, you can put down the book or the newspaper and say, well, this is what it ought to be saying. You don't have that option in broadcast media because it's a continuous stream. That's why I think things went off the rails, and it's, you know, the fact that a small, discrete group of people that were basically against traditional society were in charge of things is the reason society changed so disastrously in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
A quick departure, ladies and gentlemen, from your regularly scheduled programming is to remind you, and we have to do this, I hate to do it, but we have to do it if you want to see us endure to January 2020. We already have the desktop calendar over here in the studio, do we not, Keith? What do you see over there in the corner? That's next year. We're planning ahead, but we got to get there first, and we don't get there without you. Our final quarterly fundraising appeal kicked off last week, and your Christmas love offering will enable us to continue our work into the new year. You just heard from the author of the book, Population Politics, The Choices That Shape Our Future. Dr. Virginia Abernathy has signed copies of this book, and they are waiting to be shipped out to you if you donate $100 or more. You're going to get this provocative read, which examines the influence of aid and liberal immigration policies on world population growth. Don't miss
this. This is a great resource. If you want to have some resource where you can pick it up and quote chapter and verse when you're arguing with a liberal, this is a book to have.
Well, it's certainly one of them, Keith. We've given out a lot over the quarters, over the 15 years, but this is a unique opportunity for you to get a rare autographed copy of this very important book from the author herself, Virginia Abernathy. You know, I went up to her house in Nashville, and we had a great day, had a drink together, and we got those books, and we got them signed. And I thank you for your steadfast support, a trusted, battle-tested leadership is difficult, but we carry a portfolio full of unique achievements that you have made possible, ladies and gentlemen, and you know we'll always be there to advance your concerns, the concerns of this audience, so long as we have the means to carry on. None of it would be possible without your faithful giving, but one thing I'm proud about, Keith, we have never asked the audience to do anything we don't do for ourselves. We donate to this program, not just with our time, but with our finances as well, financial contributions to this show. And we always try to give them something in return. We always try to give them a gift, an incentive. We don't just take. We want to give back. We want to give you back Dr. Virginia Abernethy's book, which she has made possible by donating a sum of them to us, Population Politics. The name says it all.
It's a great
be sure
book
to get it.
From a great spokesperson who really knows this stuff and has everything properly documented. So get it while it's available. And also, thinking about our last listener in East Tennessee saying we should go back to the 850s.
We'd probably take that. We don't know what was going on then.
I do. I just thought about that.
Probably better.
You know what was happening then? The age of the Vikings from 800 to 1,000.
I'll be right there on that longship.
And let me tell you, what did they contribute? Well, they spread their seed far and wide all over Europe, and that's the reason there are beautiful blondes everywhere in Europe now, because of the manly efforts of the Vikings back from 800 to 1,000.
That's how I got here. Thank you.
That's it.
I was blonde before the testosterone burned it all off. Anyway, hey, $100 or more. Everybody that's been texting tonight, you can go on the website. We would love to have your support. We need it, and we're going to give you something in return for it that you can treasure, put on your mantle. For Auld Lang Syne, as that's coming up in a couple of weeks, too.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back with Jack Ryan. Don't go anywhere.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
U.S. officials that are now investigating the deadly attack by a Saudi aviation student at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, are still trying to figure out if the attacker was motivated by terrorism. The gunman was an aviation student from Saudi Arabia. He opened fire in a classroom at the Naval Air Station on Friday, killing three people and injuring eight others, including two deputies. U.S. Attorney Larry Keefe.
The vast resources of this country have been specifically designated and flown here from all parts and all places, and are localizing and focusing on this investigation. There is no expense that will be spared. The amazing number of resources that are being allocated and flown here is astounding, and you, the family members and loved ones, should know that.
The assault ended when a sheriff's deputy shot and killed the attacker. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
North Korea's UN envoy says denuclearization is no longer on the table in talks with the U.S. On his way out of the White House for a trip to Florida, President Trump said Kim Jong-un knows the president has a critical election coming up.
I really don't think he wants to interfere with the election. I think he'd like to see something happen. The relationship is very good, but, you know, there is certain hostility. There's no question about it.
Iran's foreign minister has confirmed that his country freed Zhu Weng in Switzerland in exchange for the release of an Iranian scientist who was being held in the United States. Weng was doing research in Iran as a Princeton graduate student when he was arrested there in August 2016. Iranian authorities accused him of gathering top-secret intelligence for the U.S. and sentenced him to 10 years in prison. A senior U.S. official says Washington is hopeful this will lead to the freeing of other Americans held in Iran. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back.
Well, that's a beautiful song, Keith, from the band Chicago. And, you know, our man Jack Ryan, hold on a sec. We're actually having a little difficulty. That's why I held you over. Jack, Sam couldn't get you on the phone. We're actually using live radio now to relay messages. Jack has called me on my cell phone. Jack, Sam couldn't get you on the phone.
Sure.
So,
text me the number to call me at.
Can you call? Let me get you the VIP number. Hang on here. Look at us. Keith, tell them what I'm doing right now, if you can. let me find that. All right, hang on now. Jack, I want you to call this number. I want you to call. Hold on, Keith, you're not even, I turned your mic off, I guess. Your mic is off because you're supposed to be gone.
Okay, now I've turned it on.
Well, now you're back.
Okay, right here, put on, I get so tired.
Well, we can't do that. Listen, this is
we got to have dead time. We're having dead time.
Well, let's talk about Jack's song. All right, now Jack's here.
Okay.
Now Keith can leave. Well, Keith was really gone because he had his mic turned off because he was ready to leave. His shift was over. Anyway, we had to call him into pinch hit. I don't know what happened to Jack's phone tonight, but it's live radio, so you never know. Anyway, Jack is our man from Chicago, Keith, and he has the band Chicago with the song Old Days, which is
culture. Murphy's Law will always apply here at the Political Cesspool, right? We're glad to have you on, Jack.
All right, Jack, take it away. Old Days, Chicago, why don't we play the song tonight?
I'm playing it because basically, we're losing a lot of the new technology, the internet. It was nice while it lasted, but all kinds of people that are similar to us, or less controversial, as they're losing their Twitter accounts, their Facebook accounts, their YouTube accounts. I've lost all kinds of these things, but other people, just regular people, are just being persecuted. So we used to have the freedom to use technology to order whatever books we wanted, and we're now losing it. So I'm suggesting that we consider using some older technologies that have kind of gone out, the U.S. mail, fax machines, things like that, because it's getting brutal, and we're being persecuted, and that's why it's good that we're on AM radio and things like that. So I'm sort of recommending that we go back to some of the older technologies and just older ways of living, dating, marriage, and things like that, because this free and open world that we had of the new technology, that you could escape the control of the mainstream media and things like that, we've lost a lot of it, and it's scary how much what's going on and what happened in the last couple of months. And the President of the United States can't even use Twitter, so how about us? But I like the song, which is called Chicago. But that's one of the kind of things that I've mentioned. It was usually the band was the Chicago Transit Authority, the CTA. They shortened it to Chicago. So what gives a band a right to just name themselves after a city? There's a band Boston for Boston. You know, what happens if you're just a really bad band and you just somehow appropriate the town of the city for some bad punk band or rap band? You can just name it after the city. I don't think that's really fair. But fortunately, this band Chicago is actually a pretty good band. They produced some good music. I like the
Yeah, they had some good songs.
Yeah, so that's what I'm presenting.
Well, we still have good songs to recommend. Jack was texting me earlier today. You know, Jack's been 2 years on the job now as one of our correspondents, our cultural correspondent. He recommends movies, books, music every week. He said he's running out of movies to promote, so now he's going to start talking about movies to avoid or scorn. Well, I don't know if we've ever covered Apocalypto, which talks about the savagery of the American Indians before the arrival of European mankind. You know, that's a good one.
That was good.
So I'm sure there's a couple of diamonds in the rough that we've avoided. But after 2 years, you know, you've certainly run through the bulk of them because they don't make that many good movies anymore.
Not getting a lot of new good movies. And you can go the whole year without seeing them. The Christmas season is coming up. I don't think we're going to be getting any good traditional Christmas movies. Do you think so? I think we're going to get some Frank Capra. It's a Wonderful Life.
I mean, what is the last good Christmas movie that came out? Die Hard? Lethal Weapon? I mean...
Bad Santa.
You can't tell us Christmas music. Movies. I can't think.
Stuff. I don't think really. One of the worst guys in the Hollywood Mafia did get taken out. Harvey Weinstein. He was a guy that was. He just made a habit of producing some god awful, horrible movie and reducing marketing on Christmas. But he got. Basically, this mafia, they'll do something that even they, the mafia, won't approve of, so this pervert, you get taken down. So he doesn't have a Bad Santa or Dig Unchained on Christmas, but some other guy will step up.
Yeah, that's right. The Django Unchained was released on Christmas. Porn movie about, you know, killing whites. But Sam says we need to listen, or rather watch Hallmark. I mean, can we count made for TV movies as a movie recommendation?
I'm going to try to find it. I got rid of my cable. I just refuse some religious grounds to have CNN in my home or the other ones. So today I got a Roku stick, and I'm trying to look on.
Roku.
So I need to have someone, technological person, maybe a 9-year-old, figure out how to use all the technology.
Kids are better at it than me. I got a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. They can run laps around me on a Kindle, on a iPad. Come on.
Yeah.
You just need to have a kid, and then you can learn how to use this stuff.
Let's work on it. We're working on that. We'll see. But I don't want to tip my hand, but I have some kind of a prospect going. I'm going to a great wedding.
Hundreds and hundreds of our female listeners just let out an exasperated sigh.
Well, it's not a deal yet, so put them in if they want to write. I'm fair game, and I like the shotgun wedding. You know, if the girl likes me, I like her. He's got relatives with a shotgun, and these things can be done. So we don't want to delay a game too much.
we got to get after it. I mean, there's no time like the right time.
Got to do it. Absolutely. All right. But anyway, so my text was, instead of recommending a great movie, and I think I've recommended a lot of just great movies, Amran put on a list of some of what they thought were their best movies. I thought, you know, some of them were good, but I think our movies that we've recommended at Political Festival was better than their one did at Amaranth. But I'd like to suggest the idea of recommending some movies that you not see instead of seeing that they're great. So that's kind of my theme tonight. And I wanted to present two movies that recommend that you highly not see and go. And these are these patriotard movies from the 1980s, the Reagan conservative. And I was excited. I was in college and, oh, we got this patriotic guy. And then they had this movie. There's two of them. There's Red Dawn, and I think it's Rambo 3. And both of these themes are they're the patriotic American, they're white Americans, and they got to go off and fight or resist this invasion by these Russians that come in and try to take over America. And you got and the reality was, you're too young to remember it, but the Reagan conservatives wasted the 80s, fighting the Russians, doing stupid stuff like arming these mountain Muslim jihadists in Afghanistan that morphed into the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And so this movie, Rambo 3, is this patriot ex-Vietnam vet guy, and he goes off and he joins these Afghan freedom fighters to fight these evil Russians, that probably because they were racist and didn't approve of homosexual marriage equality. It's just a terrible, it's horrible. But our people just did it, and they went for it, and there's still probably less of it, but a lot of our people are susceptible. And you see all the propaganda from these neoconservative Zionist ones. The enemy has always got to be some white European, nominally Christian group, whether it's Russians or the Serbs or Germans in two world wars. Or then you get Braveheart or something like that. So I recommend that you not see those two movies, Rambo 3 and Red Dawn.
All right, two of, I'm sure, countless movies we can recommend not to see, but we will continue on with Jack Ryan. One more segment tonight. We're kicking off December 2019. Only four more shows left this year. Can you believe it, Jack? Another year come and gone, almost, but not yet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus last night. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus last night.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
Underneath the mistletoe last night.
Last night.
Do-do-do-do.
Last night.
She didn't see me creep. Do-do-do-do. Down the stairs to have a peep. thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. Then I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white.
Boy, I don't know if it gets any better than that a cappella sound of the Jersey Beat under a street lamp here this December 7th, 2019. We're still listening to those good sounding feel good songs. Jersey Beat on Elvis's sacred ground out here in Memphis. That's right, Sam. Thank you. And Jack, you know, when Kevin McDonald was up here, he went to Graceland. Have you been to Graceland?
Just briefly by it. It was kind of past it. I think that Elvis had kind of left the building when I went to
You've never been to the Jungle Room there. He's still there.
Well,
that's where you got to find him. Anyway, we'll do that next time you're in town. But sure. Listen, so we've talked about your movie, movie unrecommendation tonight, Rambo 3 and Red Dawn. The song, Old Days, hey, that's kind of fitting in with the theme of the retro culture. But let's, I know there's a book you're reading that's probably well-known to most in this audience.
So this is an incredible book. I mean, it's just an incredible book. The book is Camp of the Saints by French author Jean Raspall. It's a novel. It was written in the 70s, but in this case, that fiction is truer than nonfiction. It prophesizes the end of European civilization, where boatloads of the most destitute poor people in India and other third world countries decide to go to Europe and the West to enjoy the good life. And it shows how various religious and intellectual people see these boat people, and they try to put a good spin on it, and it gets worse and worse. And it prophesies things like a South American liberation theology pope that would fly in the world on a pope Learjet trying to welcome these Muslim diseased hordes of people from the third world. The guy is such a great writer, and it just prophesies exactly what's going to happen, how Angela Merkel will react to this invasion. Very funny, but brutal. It's the ultimate black pill book, so to speak. In the end, there's about 10 people that resist the invasion. One of them was a direct descendant from the last Greek emperor of Constantinople. There's one black Indian guy that sides with the whites. All these other idiot whites are saying, oh, it's going to improve us, it's going to help us. And they all get raped and slaughtered. When I left New York City in the early 90s, when I witnessed these atrocities, I went to graduate school block from the World Trade Center when the Islamists bombed it the first time. The Islamists this week were slaughtering people in England, and they apparently shot up a naval base in Florida. And so I was trying to look to find some way that I could.
You can't even keep up with all of
Americans. Yeah, and there's a certain books, Bonfire of the Vanities by Thomas Wolfe, a lot of the Buchanan books or things like that. But this book is so brutal, so honest. I bought cartloads of it, and I tried to give it to people. And most people's reception is like, you couldn't refute the arguments of it. They'd shake their heads. But it is now a banned book that the New York Times and the like are trying to get senior Trump administration people fired and destroyed for admitting that they read this book and they liked it. So that shows you what a good book it is. It's so powerful that just an amazing book. So that I can't recommend this book enough, but it's depressing. Our side loses when we just give in to the hordes of boat people from the third world, and how we say, hey, let's welcome these people, let's help them, and they're going to make our societies better or multicultural, or there's libertarian has something to do with economics or some stuff like that. No, if we allow in tens of millions of the most diseased, hostile third world people, our civilization's gone. And it's happened before, it's happening now. So this book is an amazing book, and I could talk
for many, many episodes about it. And the guy's so smart. He's so well-read. He knows about all the Knights of Malta and, of course, the Algerian War in the 50s. And these are things like conservatives, the Bush family. They don't read. So, like, when they say, oh, no, the Bush family, they've never read this book. And they're like, no, you haven't read a serious book, like Run, Spot, Run. I mean, how is this guy the president of the United States? He doesn't read serious books. So, yeah, I read this book. And they're going to come and, oh, you ever read this book yet? So this is one of my favorite books. And it hasn't, like, nothing has really changed since the 70s that white South African Rhodesia, we lost it. But other than that, there's nothing that's changed. And this guy just, he had it down to a T about how everyone was going to react to this mass migration. He sort of said the Russians gave up when they got invaded by hordes of Chinese that got drunk or something. The Russians aren't giving up. So that's kind of, he doesn't mention the JQ. He sort of talks about something, but he doesn't mention that side of it. He brutally satirized these terrible universalist John Lennon imagined universalists. I've never seen anyone that was so cuttingly brutal and funny. Tom Wolfe is pretty good in the Bonfire of Vanities, but this book, Camp of the States, amazing. Make it as a gift, and it'll get caught in your room. They knock on your door. You got the federal people and say, we want to look in. We want to see if you got any bad books like this one. And like, yeah, I got the book. I got like 20 of them.
Well, Jack, I'll tell you, you're really reinforcing a lot of the stuff we've been talking about tonight, in that we had a temporary revisitation with the concept of retro culture earlier this hour. You come in with the song Old Days, and then Camp of the Saints, you're making mention of the fact that really nothing's changed since the 70s. And that was the point Virginia Abernathy was making in the second hour. I was asking her about one of her most well-known books, Population Politics, The Choices That Shape Our Future. She wrote that in the early 90s, and we were talking about that again. She said, well, nothing's really changed since then, except perhaps it's gotten, certainly worse. And that's the case with the Camp of the Saints. It's only gotten worse since then. I do think we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to turn this around. But the fact of the matter is, from the 70s to the 90s to the current time, it has only gotten incrementally worse. But hope springs eternal.
Yeah, hope springs eternal. But I don't know. I mean, certain things I'm more optimistic about. I think that Central and Eastern European, all these people that are supposedly our enemies, I didn't believe that then, that these people were our enemies. But these people are all sensible. They've got good. And they're still trying to sort out some divisions between Catholic and Orthodox Christians. And there's resentments between Ukrainians and Russians over the bad things that happened in World War II. But I think that Central and Eastern Europeans are all looking good. The type of atrocities that happened this week in England and in Florida was a Islamics murdering our people, and then the father of the victims that got slaughtered by this Pakistani jihadist who embraces his murderer. They don't have any of that crap in Eastern Europe. That guy, that's not going to happen. There's just no chance. It's a disease of bad liberalism and embrace your murderers and rapists. They don't do that stuff in Central and Eastern Europe. It's a disease. It's a Western disease. And I don't think they really have that much in the South. It's just certain places, but it's someone's put a curse. It's sort of like Lord of the Rings, really, that there's a curse on us, and Saruman, the white wizard, has gone over to the enemy. And I think that Palantir is like American television, that the forces of Sauron, Satan, these Zionists, whoever control our media, they're brainwashing our people and corrupting them with the television. So I would just say, like, get rid of bad television. There's options. Hopefully we'll have some things. But that's life in the country. We've been through worse. But read good books. And I definitely think Camp of the Saints should be one of your – make it a Christmas gift. Maybe some Christian churches that worship Martin Luther King wouldn't be happy if you gave the book Camp of the Saints, but so on.
Well, read a good book, listen to some Christmas music, listen to TPC. You never have to make a recommendation for good radio, because you know where you can find that, that's for sure. A good movie, if you can find it. There are some out there. You might have to go back a little while, But anyway, Jack, listen, I am looking forward to a fun December, an uplifting, encouraging December with you. We've got three more shows, sure. And then it's all done for another year in broadcasting here on TPC. We hope to be with you for many more years to come, but it all depends on your support, ladies and gentlemen. $100 or more before the end of the month, you're going to get a copy, an autographed copy of Dr. Virginia Abernethy's book, Population Politics. So we got to get there. And she's been gracious enough to send us those autographed copies. We'll get them out to you. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Keith, Sam, Virginia Abernethy. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week. Good night.